We are studying the article 600,000 Souls. If you're watching us on channel 66, you can find the text, send the questions on CUB.co.il for the World Kli or on CUB TV. You can ask questions live. We're starting with the words, it seems to mean.
So we'll read and then we'll ask.
It's about five paragraphs down the article. It says, it seems to mean, as they said, Moses is equal to 600,000. We need to understand it, since this would mean that there are twice 600,000 souls. The soul of Moses and the soul of Israel. But the truth is that there is no more than one soul, as it is known by the measure of each and every soul that purifies and cleanses itself from its filth. Hence, when all the souls are corrected, they will draw onto them the entire higher soul of Atzilut. To each and every soul, since the spiritual is indivisible. At that time, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. Hence, while even a single soul is denied of complete purity, the extension of will be deficient in every soul from Israel.
Is that clear? Yes.
What does it mean, the soul of Moses?
Well, let's say, you know, one of the individual souls is called the soul of Moses. Now, what does it matter its degree or uniqueness?
Man, does he know the soul of Moses?
Let's say not Moses' soul, but Neve's soul. So if Neve doesn't correct his soul, no one in the world will. Everyone will be lacking.
I'll come to know the soul of Moses.
You must. You'll have to, sure. Of course. Meaning, you will come to know such a degree in your familiarity with the one soul that is called the degree of Moses. It's a certain degree. Let's say 90% of attaining the collective soul is called the degree of Moses. Just as an example, I'm not, we don't really measure it in percents, and I don't know also.
And then what kind of relations do I have with that soul, Moses?
Right now you don't have any relations. You receive through all the chain of the souls. But as you reach your personal correction, you go through all those souls and become included in them. You will also be familiar with Abraham until you will come to the level of the one collective soul, Adam HaRishon.
Yeah, but what happens there when I meet Abraham, Moshe?
You say hello? Yeah? What?
What does it feel like?
You become a part of it, and then you feel what happened with Abraham, what he felt, what he said, what he wrote, what happens to him, his entire history.
Well,
why are you looking at me like that? How are we able to add some things about Baal HaSulam and Rabash and the things that aren't written in the books? It's because we discover it to some extent, and then we can add to it about all the process that we went through. Look, the whole process of the crisis, what for and so forth. We have all kinds of additions here and there. Where does it come from? From the revelation. So these lofty souls, I don't know, I haven't reached their root, but from what he writes and what we understand, we come to that on the way.
How to correctly depict it and not get confused?
Bilbulu bari.
The confusion is a healthy one. I can't tell you not to get confused. It's not the correct approach. Confusion is good, and we should like the confusions and helplessness and all kinds of vague states, although the person doesn't realize how effective this is because it's the birth of your new kelim, new vessels. But how to generally conceive of this holographic issue, I don't know how to otherwise express it. Everything is happening at once in a thousand ways, and all these thousand different forms have only one spiritual image. Those who don't yet sense spirituality, it will always escape them. Even if you'll be able to somehow depict it in a corporeal way, you see how in quantum physics they can't even digest that. They can't. First, they thought that there are particles and waves. Then they discovered that a particle can also be a wave, and a wave, under different conditions, could be a particle. Now they're discovering that at the same time, it can be both a particle and a wave that drives you crazy. Such a duality, meaning if I look in one way, the world is waves. If I look in a different way, the world is all matter, particles. So they're perplexed. And we're talking just about our matter, you know, de facto, the fundamentals of the universe. You understand? So what? So the whole world is just virtual? It's all waves? Yes. Then later they'll discover it's not even waves.
I met, and I think that you did, two different people who believe that they're the soul of Moshe, Yaakov, different souls.
Oh, I met many people like
Great.
That, sure.
So I'm asking about them, not about me.
About them? What do you ask about them?
I mean, how will I not get confused that I've reached some degree called Moshe?
I don't know. Every day I hear people saying Messiah, Messiah, things like that. Well, what do you want from me? I know that Messiah means Mashiach, from the word Mashiach, the pulling force, the force that pulls forward. So it is said, the Ari was Messiah, son of Joseph. What does it mean? It means that he is on a degree of pulling us from the level of Yesod of Zaran Pin of Atzilut. That's a very high degree. He was on the level of on the end of correction himself. This is just what he did for us. So that's why he is titled that way. And after him, the period of correction began. Baal Shem Tov, Baal Sulam, they added to it. Now, once again, there's some new era. Until when? How will it unfold? Who knows? So this is what's called Messiah. Messiah meaning the one who takes part in the pulling of all of humanity after him. Messiah is the task. It's not a person. Just like here, what? Moses is a person. It's a person who influences me. It's a spiritual force that perhaps that creature, that created being, had a connection with the spiritual degree. But the spiritual degree is what's significant, is what's important, not the flesh and blood. And that's what influences me. At the end of the day, it's the Creator who dresses in some sort of a clothing and influences me. That's what we call Moses. If it dresses in a different clothing, it's called Aaron, and so forth. And if we read in the Torah all kinds of struggles that he fights with them and gets angry and so on, it's just to indicate to us the gap between the Creator, which is absolute, complete good that does good, as opposed to those degrees that are still not. So it's just a clarification of the state, the status, and then in that state, how the person discovers himself as still deficient. What?
Maybe this might add two quotations. The one is by Bala Sulam. He says that every complete soul achieves all the souls, from Adam HaRishon till the final correction, like a man who achieves his relatives and his neighbors, and according to their opinion, he is integrated with them. And it's not a wonder, how shall he attain all the souls, because their spirituality does not have to do with time or place. And the other quotation, it talks about the degree that a man has to reach in order not to incarnate again. He says there that even though that every person was born on the smallest level, nonetheless, it says in Shara Gilgulim that every person can become like Moshe, our patriarch, if he wishes to purify his deeds, meaning that he can take upon himself a different spirit, a higher one, from Roma Yetzirah and Neshama from Roma Briah. And also it says that the souls of the sages come and incorporate in a person, and it's called the impregnation to help achieve righteousness.
It's the conception of the soul of the righteous. It's like the donkey rider. Yeah.
So just to clarify this, is there such a thing that a person says that the root of my soul is Moses? Does such a thing exist?
No, the root of the soul is Moses. No, that's general. Everyone has his own root of the soul. Moses refers to a general level, a degree of the collective soul. It's just like you have Adam HaRishon. When you discover states that are less than that, they have, then they're called these 10 sefirot, or souls. Don't worry, those who discover it, discover everything.
What does it mean that there's one soul that's higher and another soul that's lower?
Where?
In the order of the...
No, he says there's just one soul. One soul was created, Malchut of Ensof, one desire. What's happening with you? Why are you getting confused? There's this sort of a cloud before the convention now. Yeah? Like something descended on you. There is one desire created by the Creator, the will to receive. It was created and permeated with light, and the light imprinted in the will to receive gave it all of its forms, only in the opposite fashion. And now that will to receive with the form that's opposite the light must come above that, must go above that and be fitting, concordant with the light. So the opposite forms stay, but it reaches an intensity of being with the light, of absorbing the light. It has a place to receive the light. But there's just one desire. There's nothing else. And anything we discuss besides that one desire, that one soul, first of all, it's just different parts of it that we attain. But it's not parts of it, it's parts of my attainment of it. We spoke about it yesterday. It's like in a holographic image. How does a holographic image work? If I attain a complete image, then there is some phenomenon that I attain. If I take a part of it, then what do you have in that segment? The same thing that you have there. Literally the same. But as much as what I see here is less. So this is, let's say, signified by a lowercase m, and this is an uppercase m. So it's the same details, it's the same everything, only less clear. Less clear. That's all. That's what we call a soul, meaning there's 10 sefirot here, and there's 10 sefirot there. It's just, there's a difference. Yeah.
I'll put it differently. Is there a difference between the souls of the different people in the world, or it's one and the same?
What did you say?
Is there a difference between us? There are 7 billion people in the world. Is there a difference between our souls?
Yes.
So how is it possible that we say that on the one hand each has a unique part, and on the other hand you depict this picture that we're all the same?
Well said. Yes, I'll tell you. It's a correct question, yeah. So how could it be that there is one soul? So it should be something that's simple. There should be this one big soul here. And then...
Then...
You have another soul, but the same soul, but it's just smaller and then smaller and then smaller. That's it. What's the difference? Nothing. Just like this, and that's it, right? No. This is for each and every one. What does it mean? Because everyone also has his own root of the soul. So he has a personal soul. Yes, there is an individual soul. So, what are we talking about? So, are there 600,000 souls or not?
That's the question.
Well, what does he say?
At first he says that there isn't. That there's just one soul, the soul of Adam HaRishon.
Yes, so, this means there are different angles of attaining that same collective soul through the integration with everyone else. Your soul doesn't exist within you. I understand the problem. What's a soul? Say.
You're asking me?
Yes?
I'm here to ask questions, not to give answers.
So you're talking like you're in the police, you know?
It's just that I don't know.
Here I ask the questions, you say. Okay. This is the desire to receive, and there is the point in the heart that is above the desire. What's above the desire? That's called the others. This is called a soul. The desire here is nothing. The point is the root of the soul. This indeed is the individual root of the soul. But the others are the same for everyone. The others are Adam HaRishon. Everyone attains the same thing, only from a different angle. Until they all come and unite together. Why does it happen that way? So they can help each other attain the quality of bestowal. You are relating the soul to this desire here, which is not existent. That's why it seems to you that I personally have what I have. No, your soul is in the others. You only have to, how to put it, to work on well, what's outside your desire, outside yourself, beyond your skin.
If each one of us is different and has a different angle through which he looks at things, a different soul or a different way to achieve it, how can I help others in that way then?
You can't feel him. You just help him. By that you acquire the bestowal, the ability to bestow, the vessels to bestow. By acquiring his desires, he says, I want this and this and that, right? So you receive the man from him, the deficiencies. You begin to provide him with what he wants. By this you develop your soul. What's the soul? It's your tendency. That's the soul. It's not simple. I also see that we are now sort of starting this landing phase. That's good. That's okay. Yes, Gilad.
He says that even if one soul will be lacking, this, in order to complete the correction, it will be lacking from each and every soul of Israel.
Yeah, that's what I wrote here. Perhaps let's call it nefesh, spirit.
How is it that Kabbalists then achieve the final correction before everyone else does? How was Bala Salam supposed that the final correction when there were still others who did not come to that?
This is what Rabbi Chiya cried about. How could it be that the final correction would be before? So there is a personal final correction. I don't know, but the general correction, he himself doesn't attain. He doesn't know. He attains that, yes, can't be somehow. I don't understand that. If you ask me personally, I don't know. You're asking about discernments that if I will tell you by the book, even from my degree, which is a bit higher than yours, it's still not the degree of the author.
So I'll put it differently. In the connection between the higher and the lower, suppose we undergo certain corrections, what does it add to the higher, to the teacher?
When you are going through corrections?
We and you, okay? Suppose we undergo some corrections now, what does it add to you?
Each and every one adds to me.
How and what?
By forcing me to provide that correction.
Yesterday you said you really enjoyed to listen to the workshop.
No, because I don't understand. If I have several thousand students, everyone wants spirituality somewhat. So it automatically works through me, because that's how it works, from above downwards. With you as well, when you go to talk in schools and to anyone who works in dissemination, the more these people awaken and connect, it all goes through him. Now you still don't see how it works. You don't feel the network. After that, you'll discover, later you'll discover how it breathes all the time. That's the spiritual world. You'll discover how you're constantly with them, just like in our world where you're here with others, with your body. There you'll find how you are constantly receiving the lights and vessels all the time. Yes, Mush.
Can you tell something interesting, appealing about the soul? Something interesting, appealing, so I'll be inspired, so that we'll want to attain it. Because what he says here, it's first of all, it isn't clear, and secondly, it's not appealing. He wrote it for people.
If I don't get something that goes into my belly, or, you know, between my belly and my heart, right, well, where is that the place for the soul? Then it doesn't interest me. Why do you think like that? Why do you think it's so? Why does the soul have to be here, right here? Ah.
No, I don't mind where it is.
No, but so why isn't it attractive to you? Because it exists in others. I have to fulfill others. There you find your comfort, your soul. There. So I don't need that soul. If that's the soul you're talking about, I don't need it. No? Why doesn't it attract you?
There are many altruists running around wanting to give.
There are such idiotic altruists who go to give to people in all kinds of ways, but only bad results come from that. Nothing good will come from that. So, I can't explain to you about the soul. It's a will to bestow, an intention to bestow, an action of bestowal, to the extent that a person doesn't need anything from himself. He just cut himself out. And the preparation time, it's called a preparation time until we enter bestowing in order to bestow. The truth is that bestowing in order to bestow is a preparation as well. Because in bestowing in order to bestow, you don't actually bestow. Your true bestowal is in receiving in order to bestow. When bestowing in order to bestow, you just prevent yourself from harming. You're in a desert, like trying not to harm anyone. That's also a preparation. So that's why Baal Salam writes, where is the correction? The correction is entirely in the nations of the world. What do we prepare? Only the method. Now, we need as soon as possible, as quickly as possible, to finish the preparation and start doing it with literally the common people, with the masses all over the world. That's the real correction. That's where it is. Yes.
Look, we're talking about the soul. It's like the most interesting thing. Ask anyone on the street.
Of course, if you talk about it to people on the street, you know, even bring like this crystal ball, and add some blessings and charms to it. Let's dim the lights too. You know, summon some souls. Sure, if you talk about it that way, then there's all kinds of Draculas and all sorts of things. So what do you end up with? If we're talking about what's actually correctly is happening in the world, accurately, not based on people's imaginations because they miss a little all kinds of biochemicals or electrical signals in his mind. That's why they imagine all kinds of things, and also because of their fears. But if we're talking about the truth, then the world is very simple. There's a will to receive, it works in order to receive, or the same will to receive works in order to bestow. So choose where you want to be. In order to receive is called this world, in order to bestow is called the upper world. That's all. When you attain the desire, which is at least bestowing in order to bestow, then you begin to attain the soul. When you're still working in it, when you're already working in receiving in order to bestow, you're already in control of it. So the will to receive, in order to receive, is called a body. The will to receive in order to bestow, bestowing in order to bestow, or even receiving in order to bestow, that's called a soul. That's all. There's nothing else. Why? The Creator didn't create anything else. What can I do? That's it. That's all He created. Only a soul, a desire. And to begin with, the desire is entirely to bestow. That's why it's called a soul, one soul. Then it divided, yes, divided towards us, so that we get confused, and from that confusion we discover what it is, because you can only attain things from opposite forms. And then when we discover the emanator, the Creator, then we discover Him in our soul, with meaning in that kli, that vessel which is in complete bestowal. You guys are confused with all kinds of mystical forms and religious forms, and we also learned before that, how was that article? Yeah, body and soul, about all kinds of different methods, what people think, and so on.
I'm asking about the explanation.
With the Rambam, all that we read there, yeah.
Suppose when you explain to a child what an aircraft is, you don't exactly explain what the aircraft is, down to the with all the details, because it's not interesting for him. I explain it to him the way it interests him. So when we turn to the masses, is it possible altogether to explain this in an appealing way? Later on, they'll start understanding that it's to receive in order to bestow, and so on. But the technical explanation, it's...
No. First of all, it is technical. Technically, meaning truthful, accurate, and technical. Other than that, it's all, you know, I don't know, novels, and it's all worthless. One day it's this thing, the other day it's something else. We need something more serious that you can hold on to. So the matter of creation is a desire, a desire. The desire is just plain desire. Yes, that's called matter. What can you do with it? You can take control of it, either for your own good or for the benefit of the whole. If it's for your own benefit, that's called corruption. If it's for the collective, that's called correction. When you use the desire for the benefit of all, literally, truly, not just that it seems to you, but when it happens through corrections of the light that reforms and so on, that desire is called a soul. How will I explain more simply?
Moshe is asking, what do I get out of attaining the soul?
Eternity, wholeness, attainment, understanding, upper, sublime, spiritual life. Well, what do you benefit? The smallest, the tiniest feeling that I gain is a billion times greater than anything you attain in this world.
So there are a few, like, benefits.
Yeah. Take a deep breath, yeah.
So it says, when a person comes to love another, a man crosses from his narrow, full of pains and obstacles, world into eternal and broad world. In another place...
So for that, he needs to reach love of others. This already repels me. You promise a good reward, but I have to first love someone. So maybe you got something else, maybe a different writing. Yeah.
In a different place it says that a person who is in the world of the Creator, he always gets good and pleasant feelings, and he is in constant pleasure.
Oh, that's good. That's without conditions.
In another place, and the purpose of religion and its essence, it says that when a person is...
I'm willing to give up pleasures. Okay, just not having to love victory, you know?
When a person is ready to give up the will to receive, he is free to wander in the world of the Creator, and he will never have any harm or experience any malfunction, because all that comes to a person only to the intention for himself that is imprinted in him.
See, if you prefer to be in that different world, beautiful world, instead of this world, it's possible.
That's exactly. Okay, he talks about the infinite pleasure there. Can you explain what that is? I want to enjoy food, meaning that I'll give a bite and every bite will give me ever more pleasure. I want to love a woman and to enjoy that ever more. That is good as a soul.
This you understand. I agree with you.
Infinite
but
pleasure.
No, it's... This can't be communicated. It's a feeling that comes from the influence of the light from above, providing the person with the longing, the tendency to feel what's outside of him, what's literally outside of him. He begins to feel just how much he wants to tie the connection between me and where you want to be. I have no words. Perhaps imagine yourself such a state where you are very connected, attached to someone, and you discover how evil he is, how... Well, let's say it's like your kid. You love him, there's no choice. On the other hand, he is so cruel, so terrible, so evil, and you can't detach him from yourself. You know, it's kind of these opposite, conflicting feelings that we have to look for, and then you ask for the light that reforms to cut it off from you, and then you begin accepting the other side, which is independent of, detached from the bodily state, which is like your own kid. And you only assume the other side. You get rid of that domination. There are no words. That's why it is said, until we attain, we don't know it by a name or a word. Well, yes. No. Guys, we will continue. You have something else, yeah? There's a lot. Okay, well, read.
Okay. And when a single soul from Israel is purified from all its filth, it will draw unto itself the whole of the soul of Atzilut, and through it all the souls of its generation will be completed. This is the meaning of one being dependent on the other, as it is written, it was defitting that divinity would be upon him, but his generation was unworthy of it. The content of the words is unanimously bewildering, that the same soul that was rewarded with purification immediately strives to increase the grace of the generation and ask from them.
Each and every one. Look, these are things that can't get into the regular, you know, flat mind. It's like in quantum physics or even all the Einstein theories, those new discoveries in the subatomic level. Because it breaks our mind and our emotion. We don't live in that dimension. But that's how it is in spirituality. Not that physics has to do with spirituality, but it's at the limit, at the boundary. Somehow it begins to express that some things that are totally different exist, and these things just don't coincide with our own brain. These are opposite things that suddenly coexist, yet they also exist separately, that the same thing could be in two places at the same time. And it's not that it moves from place to place at infinite speed. It's just in two places at the same time. And or an item could be both a particle and a wave, as we said. Here, he explains to us in an even higher manner. And there are things that we need to think about them again and again and read them and swallow them and digest them. And there's sometimes a big confusion about it. And that what can you do? Those who studied the theory of relativity, they know that it takes a few months to the point of, it becomes vague and even nauseated you get until you start grasping it. Because it's the construction of the vessels that has to happen within the person. These students, they're familiar with this phenomenon. Those who study deeply that part of physics, if they do. We need to get used to these things. It's possible. We already have various discernments from spirituality. So we can, when we think, we don't just think, we can assemble them into these patterns somewhat, to some extent. Bring it closer, in a sense. And the more we try, we come close to it. We draw more and more light that reforms. But the topic itself is very critically important because it sheds from us all of the false attitudes, approaches.
No, Gilad.
Yes, Gilad.
Yesterday, I was working on our telemarketing, and I got to talk to many women who registered for the Congress, for the Women's Congress.
Men or women, yeah.
Many of them are very new. Suppose there was this woman who broke her leg, and she was at her parents' home, opened our channel by accident, and she registered for the Congress. So she started asking me, should women start watching the morning lesson and so on, but that's not what concerns me. What concerns me is for her to be pleasantly impressed by the Congress.
No, this, well, I'm not concerned that she will be impressed positively by the convention.
In terms of preparation, because they're listening now.
This lesson indeed is very difficult. It's very confusing, because it's meant for preparing our veteran students who studied for a long time. It's not really for beginners. We spoke about many sermons that seem to be the same thing for an hour long, and it depends on emotions that people yet don't have a preparation for. It's true, I don't think that 600,000 souls, which was your recommendation, is fitting before the convention.
No, I mean preparation. What do you recommend? How do you recommend them to prepare themselves for the Congress? I tried, you know, to do my best to explain how to prepare, but maybe you can say a few words about that. No, I'm a woman. I'm listening. I don't know the organization, Kabbalah Lab, Bnei Baruch, don't know nothing. What do I have to do in order to come prepared to the Congress?
When you go to this telemarketing department, don't you get any instructions before? Then what type of work this is?
Well,
so this is not good and that is not good. First of all, I don't know. I don't know what materials are there and where they are. I can't answer you. There has to be someone in charge who guides you and anyone who goes into that job. That's all. And I'm very sorry that this is how it's happening here. Yet, it's certain that those who will come to the convention will come to the convention and come out of it fulfilled, because that this doesn't have to do with that, because there's a collective force of women there, and I'm preparing a good plan, and the entire convention really revolves around our lectures and workshops from 2:30 to 4:30. Then there's just 1 hour of a break, which is for food probably and so on. Then another 2 hours, and then the cultural evening. You understand? So it's constant. I'm constantly active there. Let's hope that my throat will make it. So what I want to say is I'm certain that it will come out well. I'm sure with the songs and with the connection and unity and the workshops will be about topics that are very advanced and yet very inspiring and provoking.
We're talking a lot about acquiring additional deficiency from the women. As a man, how am I supposed to do it?
No, we don't need to sit and watch the women convention. We will absorb that desire. We don't need the wrapping and the same form that the women need in order to be inspired and excited. To us, it will do the opposite. It will cause a descent. I don't want to be under the influence of women. I'm there, but I'm not overwhelmed by it, let's put it like that. There's a certain masach and special screen and barrier. Women need become inspired in their way and in their form and bring their own man and request. And when we feel it in our own way and already in translate it to our own thing. When your wife pressures you in a certain way, you understand it in your own way. She delivers it to you in her way. But then, whether you like it or not, you go and follow it.
So I'm passive throughout this process. When they'll be there Sunday, what am I supposed to think about?
You need to think about their success in their mission and prepare everything for them that they need in terms of corporeality. Let's hope we'll be able to do that well.
Now, there's another phenomenon that toward the upcoming Congress, many women are ill, undergoing unpleasant physical states.
It's well known what happens to me usually before a convention, before going somewhere. I always find myself sick, and it's cleansing the body. A disease in general, a disease is a healing process. What we think of as a disease is not a disease. It's the body cleansing itself, purifying itself. Yes, what?
Rob, a few days ago you gave the world kli, a task, sit for 10 minutes after the lesson and write down a prayer to help us to come to the next morning lesson with the right intention. And you asked to write down at least half a page for 10 minutes. I wanted to ask, is 10 minutes and half if 10 minutes and half a page could also be 2 minutes and 3 sentences.
That's possible, too. Right now, we all need to aim ourselves towards the convention. The women convention is very important, critically important. And the more we sort of wish to receive from them or with them this great desire. And that desire loses the form of women. It becomes just a desire. It loses its material form. It becomes just a desire per se, sort of detached from them, becomes a spiritual desire. And then it enters us. Just like he tells us in the Zohar about the raising of the prayer and the answering of the prayer, that there's a special angel that delivers that desire from degree to degree. There's a reason for it, because it has to lose its previous form and reach the next level in its new form. And it's the same here. We're asking for their desire, and if it comes to us, we will no longer feel that it comes from them. We'll just feel it as greater pressure. You know, just like you feel pressure from your wife at home. And there it's somehow happening, but it becomes your desire that you can't escape and you have to follow it. And we want this to be the same for us, that we won't be able to escape it. I will try my best to direct them properly so that you don't run away afterwards. And with this,
One Global Woman Congress, dear beloved women, due to the massive registration for the Congress, we're moving on to the big hall in the exhibition gardens in Tel Aviv. So, dear women, you're invited on the 13th of January, 12 p.m., Ganat Arucha Tel Aviv, and Shalhevet Bamidbar, the Arava, the 2013 Arava Convention. Next week, we're going from the 17th to the 19th of January to the desert. Due to the very cold weather, please bring warm clothes and serious sleeping bag, and so on. And we can come only, it starts Thursday. And this Thursday, there will be a special lecture that Dr. Lightman will give in the city of Ashdod in the Russian language. And the theme, the topic of the lecture is 2013, where are we going? What are we expecting? For further details, please call us 1-700-509-209. It's on Rami Naim Auditorium, Bialik 10th Street, Ashdod. We wish you all the best, great day, and a great night.
Thank you.